Welcome to the Hustler's Manifesto podcast. We jailbreak from toxic hustle culture. We take hustler back from a belief that bigger is better, security is contingent on compliance, and freedom is reserved for the powerful. I'm your host, Sarah Duran. I'm not here to tell you how to make a quick buck. I'm here to change the way work is done so that we can live more meaningful lives right now instead of betting on an uncertain future. If you value this content, please rate it and comment on this podcast wherever you get it. If you're a freelancer, consultant, or solopreneur who needs better strategy for your business, learn more about what I do at fruitioninitiatives.com. Thanks for being part of the movement. Hi, Karina.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So let's start off with the three questions that we always start off with, which is, who are you, what is your work, and why do you do it?
Awesome. To answer the question, who am I? That's a bit of a complex question. I wish I had time to prepare the answer. I'll take the easiest route and I'll say I'm Karina. I am a Brazilian entrepreneur and I'm from Brazil. Although I've been traveling and living in many countries, doing many things for many years, but right now I am the founder and CEO of a company called Olo. That's a short answer.
That's perfect. Tell us what Olo does.
So Olo is a talent ecosystem. We focus on talent from Latin America, and we match these amazing and talented professionals to projects, not only projects happening here in South and Latin America, but also projects happening everywhere in the world. So if American companies, we have clients in the US, we have clients in Singapore, we have clients in Europe. So whoever is interested in collaborating with this wonderful and creative talent that we have down here. That's what we do. So we build these bridges and we make this connection.
And tell us a little bit more about your story. Like, how did you get here? What led to the founding of Olo?
Gotcha. Okay, there's no short answer for this.
So that's okay.
Just bear with me, everybody. So I've always had this entrepreneurial vein, and I think that comes from my family. I come from a family of immigrants that came to Brazil. I'm first generation on one side, second generation on the other. And when they arrived in Brazil, they all had little shops and became doing that kind of commerce work, very common to immigrants here in Brazil. So I kind of grew up inside little shops and helping my family sell whatever they were selling. And I was one of those kids that also went around the neighborhood, knocking on doors and just trying to sell something. Although I don't think I'm a great salesperson, but people say I am. I don't know. I don't see myself as a good salesperson. But in any case, I guess I sort of grew up in this kind of environment. And I started my career in advertising. For 20 plus years, I've been managing big advertising projects, also creating some companies here and there. Olo is one of these companies. I founded my first startup back in 2008. Olo we created in 2020. And I guess the inspiration for the creation of Olo was just being in the industry, hiring talent, being talent, being hired, if that makes sense. And just always thinking there must be a better way of doing this, especially when we talk about freelance talent. What I observed here in Brazil, working in agencies, working with freelancers, was that freelance talent was always very marginalized in the sense that our internal full-time team can't do this work, and we find this out at 4 p.m. and we need to deliver this to the client tomorrow, 10 a.m. Oh my God, okay, let's call all the freelancers. And those are the ones who are going to work through the night, eat the cold pizza, and just not make a lot of money. And so that's how freelancers, and of course I'm generalizing, but there was some kind of cultural. And in 2018, I had the chance of going to New York to work on a project with an agency from Brazil called Live, who became my business partner at Olo. So we founded Olo together. And I went to the US to expand the business to the US. And when I got there and started talking to a lot of agencies and a lot of freelancers and just kind of understanding in depth the advertising and marketing communication world in the US, I was really taken aback by how more mature the US was. And I'm talking back 2018, this is pre-pandemic, and how freelancers in the US were professionals who decided that they wanted to be their own bosses. And companies really respected that and paid fair rates and respected their working times and their non-working times and all of that. I came to understand this economy we call open talent economy. And I came in contact with all of this wonderful new ways of collaborating. And when I looked back to Brazil, I didn't see a lot of things happening here in that sense, or in Latin in general, there weren't a lot of initiatives. So I thought, I think this is the future. And I think the future is freelance, and not only freelance, of course, but I think there's this movement towards freelancing, and it's going to happen more and more. And then we decided to create the company. I came back to Brazil, and we had our website up, and we were starting to get things ready. We thought probably around 2024, our company is going to gain some traction, because all of the concepts that we're bringing in of remote work, talent as a service, CEO as a service, or C-level as a service, fractional work, asynchronous work, all of that. It's really new for the market in Brazil. So I think we're ahead of our time. It's going to take a while. And then 2 weeks later, the pandemic hit, which was a disaster, as we know. And at the same time, really accelerated things for us, because concepts such as remote work, which we thought, okay, companies are not ready for that. They had to be, because overnight, those of us who had the privilege and opportunity to work from home were doing so. So this really accelerated us. We picked up a lot of speed. And yeah, so we've been around for 3.5 years, making wonderful connections between talent, not only freelance. We also do full-time hiring. We build in-houses, squads. So yeah, so we've been around, and it's been really a wonderful ride. I said there was no short answer for that. So
no, there is no short answer. That's perfect. That's perfect. I think the story of how you and how Olo got here is super important, because it touches on a lot of these, it touches on a lot of pieces that I think are part of the narrative for, I think, a lot of freelancers, and also for a lot of, I love that you use the word ecosystem, as I have dear friends in other freelance ecosystems in other parts of the world. And I think it is, it's just so interesting to see how the concept and how the company evolved and how that's deeply connected to your journey. I'm also a second generation entrepreneur myself. My parents have run their own business my whole life. And yeah, it's just, it's so, I think my first question for you is, what do you think is different? And what do you think is different about the mindset of the Latin freelancer versus freelancers and other, I think you touched on a little bit, like when you came to New York, you had this realization that you as freelancers and the companies that were hiring them were operating differently than what you had been experiencing. And I've had this conversation with people in Europe and people in the US, and it's very interesting to just talk about the different, there's a different mindset in different places and what that means about the way that the ecosystem operates.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Sarah. And I think the ecosystem have changed a lot in the last few years. Olo being one of the organizations or one of the forces also trying to make these changes alongside with other partners, of course, and other organizations. But it used to be that before, like I mentioned before, freelancers were marginalized. And not only did companies view them as this kind of, we have this expression in Brazil, in Portuguese, I don't know if it's going to translate, something that you put to fill in a hole. So mm-hmm. you see a hole, a gap, okay, so bring in a freelancer and let's get this done. And many times freelancers didn't get paid properly, didn't have contracts signed and all of that. And on the side of the companies as well, pain points also happen where am I going to find the freelancer? Or is this freelancer going to give up in the middle of the project? What's my guarantee? And I think what's happening now, and it's been happening for a couple of years, is that freelancers or professionals, I should say, are looking into freelancing as a way of life. And I think especially during and after the pandemic, and I shouldn't say after the pandemic because half of my friends caught COVID again, but I guess the height of the pandemic, I should say. I think people in general are looking for a better balance between professional and personal life. And freelancing offers that to a lot of people. And freelancing is not for everybody. I always say this. It's not an universal answer. Sometimes people would like to, but they can't. Other times people just don't want to, and they prefer the security of having a full-time job, and that's fine as well. There's space for everybody, like for every model. So I think this shift is happening where freelancers are understanding themselves as freelancers by choice and by lifestyle. And what results from this is that companies are looking at freelancers in a different light, with more respect, with more consciousness in a way. And again, I think Olo is doing a good job of showing companies that freelancing is a really good way for them to solve some of their challenges within their companies, and also giving freelancers a chance of getting projects done and generating work and income for them. I would say it's changing a lot, and I think that's a really positive change for everybody.
I love how you're talking about the way that freelancers taking more, I think the word you used was choice. Freelancers looking at it as more of a choice instead of a necessity, and having that fundamental mindset shift from them for themselves also shifts the way that the people that hire them perceive them. Something that I've been doing a lot of work around this year with the freelancers I work with is boss mindset. So just like, how are you thinking about yourself as a single person business instead of quote unquote, just a freelancer? And Lord knows I love freelancers. So when I say just in quotation marks, that's just a limitation of language. But it's a really interesting concept, because I do think that there is a reciprocal relationship between the way an independent worker perceives themselves and then therefore presents themselves externally, and the way that they are hired or treated by the people that they work for. And that is not permission giving for anyone who is not treating their freelancers well at all. But I think that I think what you're hitting on right there is that like reciprocal relationship. And as more and more freelancers are leveling up their businesses and taking more ownership over themselves as individual businesses, instead of these just like gap fillers, it is also having positive effects on the way the economic system that's hiring them is interacting with them.
100%. And I think there's another aspect that's also contributing to this that we're talking about, which is more and more businesses are realizing that having freelancers built into their network is very beneficial for them. A lot of businesses now depend on freelancers in order to operate. We see that a lot with agencies within advertising, PR, live marketing, you name it, where there has been a big shift in how clients hire these agencies. So it used to be back in the day that clients would just pour buckets and buckets of money in the same agency. Now they're hiring agencies in more per project sort of basis. And if you're an agency and you don't have that humongous monthly retainer fee from all your clients, how are you going to keep up with a fixed, really high fixed cost? And the answer is freelancer. So you keep within your agency the roles that you need to keep within your agency. And that's why I say there's space for everybody, because I don't know if a company would ever run 100% on freelancers. Maybe it would. I would love to see that happening as well as a case study. But you have your full-time employees, but you can also have your network of freelancers. And you expand your network when you have more work, and then you reduce the people that you're working with when you have less work. So I think also this mindset of, I need a strong network of freelancers in order to run my business, is making companies treat freelancers differently. So I apologize. Is it a lot of noise going up? There's so much wind.
No, it's not totally a fan.
This is wind coming from my window.
No, it's totally fine. Someone told me the other day that, like, I didn't realize that Zoom actually like cancels out sounds like that. So like, right. When dogs are barking, I always think, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And like, people on the other side can't hear them. And I'm like, oh.
All right, there you go.
The magic of Zoom, apparently.
The magic of Zoom. You see my hair flowing. It's not that I put a fan in order to appear in a really good, cool way on the podcast. No, it's actually wind.
I love it. We've got a high production standard here at this podcast.
I know, right? I can tell.
No, I think what you're hitting on there is also really interesting about the way that Olo in particular is structured, like you said, about that you aren't just an ecosystem of freelancers, but you also do hiring for full-time folks. And I think that what you're hitting on with the resiliency that I think freelancers introduce into a business to be able to not have to commit to these really high fixed costs and still be able to be more nimble with the way you're getting your work done, and having a really deep talent pool of freelancers that you can draw upon, so that you know that when that comes, you have, like you said, you have sometimes in the before times, they didn't know where to go to find those people. And it's the structure of Olo with having this both like freelance and full-time hiring capability is really interesting, because I think it blurs the lines of what an ecosystem like this can be like, where I think freelancers can, I was just having this conversation with Mari from Uncompany last week, where it's like being able to, I think, have freelancers also feel the permission that, like, sometimes if the right answer for you is that you just need to go get a full-time job for a little bit or for a long time, that's okay. And I think 100%. To also give companies the options of, there are lots of different ways to do the work that needs to be done in your business. And here are a variety of options that we can help you with that are not just freelancers, are not just full-time employees, but blurring the lines of what work can look like. It gives both the workers and the people hiring them just like this really different relationship with work.
100%, Sarah. And I love when you say we're blurring the line, because I think that's exactly what we're doing. At the end of the day, we're human beings, and our community is formed of human beings. And life is movement. Life is fluid more and more. And one day somebody might say, like you said, the best thing for me now is to get a full-time job. And then 6 months later, a year later, okay, now I want to go back to freelancing. So our talent pool is the same, because people change. And I think the beauty of this and the beauty of the concept of open talent, which in the name it already says open, is flexibility, is openness. And one day you can be one thing, and the next day you can be another thing, or you can be both. You can have a full-time job and freelance on the weekend. So, you know, who to say? And we try to break this rigid sort of mindset on, you're a freelancer, so I'm going to put you in a box and say, okay, you go to the freelance box now. so we don't box anybody. And we do this as our business as usual sort of approach. So we'll never tell, for example, a client, this is how you have to hire per hour or per week or per project or per month. What works for you? What makes sense for your company? Oh, my company makes sense to pay per project. Great. So we'll find freelancers that agree to that. Or no, I can only hire per hour. It's fine too. Let's find people who can work per hour. So yeah, it's all about flexibility.
It is. And I think you're really hitting on something there that I've been thinking about a lot this year is just like, one of the main reasons I work for myself is because I wanted to define my work instead of having other people define my work for me. And I think, like you said, like when you're blurring the lines, you're also bringing in, you're changing the relationship between the employer and the worker in a different way, whether they are a freelancer or a full-time employee. You're having this more fluid relationship about who is defining this, and we get to define it together, and it doesn't have to be top down, and it doesn't have to look one way. It can look different ways, no matter depending on who the company is and who the worker is.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one more comment on this, Sarah, which is something that when it happens often, I love when talent becomes client and when clients become talent. So we have today in our community people, they're both talent and clients. Who are you? I can be many things. I can be your client and I can also do projects with Olo. So I think that's the beauty of the openness and seeing people in a multiple way and not just boxing them in as, oh, you're a client.
Mm-hmm.
You're a client today, but tomorrow you could be a service provider.
Yep.
And all that. Yeah.
And imagine the, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Imagine the compassion that creates where like you understand the context of both sides in a completely different way. And that actually leads in, that's a perfect segue into this, the next question I was going to ask you. I think one of the things I've been noticing, I think we've all been noticing over the last, depends on the time frame you want to pick, but freelance quote unquote platforms have been rising exponentially. There's new ones every day that are focused on different sectors or different localities, different types of whatever. There's all kinds of them now, all over the place. And I think a lot of them are, I think especially some of the bigger ones tend to be more client facing than freelancer facing. And so they think of their client as the client. And that means that a lot of times they're not necessarily they're not structuring their companies in a way that actually supports the talent or the freelancers that work with them. And I would imagine that this is something that you straddle just like a lot. Again, I love the word that you use the word ecosystem instead of the word platform. That in a, like that language difference in and of itself, I think makes a huge difference. But I'm curious about how you strike. I think you're already hitting on it. Like it's fluid. Like providers are clients or providers. But I'm curious about how you straddle that sort of who do you think of as the people you serve, and how do you juggle those two types of, I think, both clients to a certain extent?
Yeah, no, and that's a wonderful question. And I think that's something that platforms or any market of any type will have to think about, because if you are a two-sided marketplace like we are, we're an ecosystem where we have on one side the supply, which are the talent in our platform, and the other side, the demand, which are the clients. If we don't have any demand, there is nothing to do with the supply. So we need to focus on growth marketing. We need to focus on customer success. We need to focus on all of that. Now, if we only have demand and we don't have supply, again, there's nothing. So we need to focus on talent acquisition. We need to focus on making sure that we're treating talent in a fair way and that they're receiving, we're defending, and this is something we do a lot. We defend their rates. And I think the bigger platforms, God bless them, they've done so much and continue to do for the open talent and the freelance economy spectrum. I think they were the pioneers, just cutting the sort of like the entering this environment. But I think one thing that is not so great is that in a way, talent is cannibalizing each other for price and rates, and it brings the whole ecosystem down. And something that we do, and that's why we're a hyper curator platform. We hyper curate everything. We hyper curate talent. We hyper curate clients. We hyper curate briefs. So everything needs to make sense. And I think when we look at the hyper curation concept, it means that if a client, oh, and believe me, it happens. If a client comes to us and they say, this is the project that we need, and this is the money that we have, we don't even take it on if we don't think that's a fair wage or a fair rate for the talent. So one could argue we work more for the talent than for the client. But at the same time, if we place talent and maybe, and this doesn't happen very often, where talent might not be performing so much or so well, then maybe we're working more for the client, because we're going to tell the talent this is what needs to get accomplished. If not, we might have to bring on another person. So there, I don't think there's an easy answer to that in terms of, it's not straightforward. I would say it's a balance. If we put too much energy on one of the sides, then it creates a disbalance.
Yeah.
And like you said, at the end of the day, it's fluid. So we just treat human beings right. And that's what we're all about. It doesn't matter if you're a client or a talent.
Yep.
If you're a bad person, we're not going to work with you or for you. So that's, we have a no. Can I swear?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a no asshole policy.
Oh,
at Olo. We don't work with assholes.
I love it.
So if you're an asshole, you're not even going to be our client or our talent. So you're just out.
I think that is a perfect policy. I think that it, as you say that, I'm like, that I feel is like probably one of my life policies where I'm like,
There you go. Aren't the work just a manifestation of who we are in life?
Yeah.
We're the same person. There's no Karina at work or Karina at home. I work from home, so I have to be the same person.
Yeah. I think that's like, I love that answer so much. And I think that what you said about hyper curating is, sorry, dog. I think what you're saying about hyper curating is important, because it's that, high touch might not be the right word, but it is.
You use that word a lot.
Okay,
we
good.
Use high touch is the right word. A lot. That's our motto. High tech, high touch. So
perfect.
To us, that makes a lot of sense.
Because I think what something I see in some of the like other, especially like larger platforms, it is not high touch and it is not highly curated. And so I think that works, that like you're touching on the reciprocity between both sides, because I think clients want to come into a marketplace where they're like, I know that I'm going to go to Olo and I'm going to find top tier talent, and they are going to help me to find the right talent for the project that I have and the structure that I have. And freelancers want to know that they're coming into, they're like, I want to work with the best clients and the best projects and projects that really fit who I am and what I need. And so it fundamentally works both ways. And I think it also avoids this, like what you're saying about pricing, about this like race to the bottom, where it's like when it's not, when that standard is not upheld, I think it is really easy for both sides to end up in this like downward spiral with a race to the bottom on prices, where it's okay, I know it's not going to be the best, so I'm just going to find the cheapest. Or I know that this client is going to be, or I'm competing on a platform with a bunch of other people that are charging rates that are half of what I charge, which ultimately I think weeds out higher level freelancers. Like I hear it all the time from freelancers where I'm like, have you considered thinking about going on a platform? And they're like, why would I do that? I charge five times as much as the people who are on that platform. And I don't want to be, I want to compete in a marketplace where people are at my same level and those kind of standards are upheld. So I think you're also hitting on that, like, it's messy. You got to pay attention to both sides. And like at any given point, you're assessing the balance and being like, okay, we just got to keep paying attention to it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And if we apply the golden rule of just treating people right and doing what's right for us, and a lot of people ask me, what's my motivation? and what, why did I build Olo, and what makes me wake up every day and go to work and do what I do? And I said, because it's a manifestation of who I am and what I believe. And it's just so good to be able to do what you think is right and attract people that are with you and saying, this is the right way of doing things. And there is a right way and a wrong way to do it, I believe.
Yeah.
Obviously, things are relative and subjective, but I know what's right for me. And that's what I try to do every day and hope that people are on board. And I think that this attracts the right people for the business and the right people. And we've seen it happen. Some people are just not fit to work with us and vice versa, and especially in terms of clients. We haven't had to let go of many talent in our platform, but we've had to let go of some clients because they just weren't the right fit for us or for what we believe is right. So, and we do it. That's manifesting what we believe to be right.
Yep. I think that strong knowledge of like motivation and purpose is so important, no matter like whether you're the CEO of a company or an independent worker or anywhere in between, because I think you are saying something that I say to the freelancers I work with all the time, when I'm like, if you know who you are and why you do what you do, and you are dedicated to as much as humanly possible, always showing up as your most authentic self, you inevitably draw the right people to you. It doesn't mean you don't have to put in the work. Like, we're all still putting in the work, but if you're not staying true to like yourself and your core values and your core purpose of why you do this, then you end up drawing people to you that are not the right people, clients, partners, other humans in your life, whatever it is. And I cannot agree more. It is one of my most fundamental things that I'm working on for myself, because it, Lord knows, it is the journey of a lifetime, but it is so true. It is so true.
100%.
I'd love you to tell us, just for our final question as we wrap up, what are you most looking forward to in 2024?
Oh, wow. So many things, actually. So I think I'll start from the broader light and coming to the micro, and I don't know if this is what I'm looking for, because I don't know if it's going to happen, but I just really wish that we would get a grip. And I do keep hope up in a way, because I think if we give up hope, then what's there, what's left? But I wish we would get a grip and just really look after each other and look after our planet and understand that, we were talking about this before we started recording, really stop being dicks about so much stuff that we're just being. So I'm looking forward to, in general, just trying to live in a better world and contribute as much as I can for that to happen. And I think in a way I have, in a very small scale, but that keeps me motivated. And I look forward to continuing to do that as much as I can in 2024. So I guess that would be like my, in a more general way. And for Olo, we have so many exciting things happening. Yesterday, we launched our influence marketing spinoff called Social Talent. So we're applying the same hyper-curated methodology that we have with design, advertising, technology, freelancers to content creators. So we're entering, we've been flirting with the creator economy now for 3+ years, because we have a lot of talent in our community who are content creators. And now we're going to dedicate more time and more energy, more attention to them. So I'm really excited to see that gaining traction next year. So I think that's one of the bigger things that we're going to do next year. And just to continue to see Olo grow and expand, we're hoping to expand more in the U.S. and continue to show companies in the U.S. that Latam talent are awesome, and they can integrate talent from the South of the globe to talent from the north of the globe and create this multidisciplinary and multicultural groups and teams and squads or whatever. Yeah. So I'm excited for next year.
I love it.
Yeah. And well, I'm excited for the Christmas holiday too, because I'm tired and I want to rest.
I'm with you on that.
So by this time of the year, I'm like, my 10-day vacation.
Yes. I'm like, let's just call it. Let's just, the rest of the year is a wash. Like, just everyone who's trying to get stuff done between now and December 31st just needs to like push pause, take a breath.
Oh my God. No, there's so much that needs to happen still.
I know.
So.
I'm with you.
Oh my God.
I'm with you on that one. I love that so much. And I would love to invite all of our friends in the US audience who are listening to this to go to your website and find out more about you. So do you want to tell us where to find you?
Yes. Yeah, this is great. This is an invitation to everybody who wants to join Olo. We have a strong community in the US. We have clients in the US. We're always welcoming talent from the US. Olo.is. And once you log in, you go there, you're going to see, I want to join. So you can just click there and register to be part of Olo.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invitation. It's been a real pleasure.
Absolutely.